Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur, Sarah Lane, and Leo Laporte. Episode 94 for April 1st, 2009. iSkype. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/night. And by GoToMeeting, online meetings made easy. For a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting for your PC or Mac, visit GoToMeeting.com/night. It's time for Net at Night. From California, I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
Hello, Amber. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing very well, Leo. It's not quite spring-like weather in Toronto, but the sun is shining and I'm going to Florida.
It'll be baby's first flight.
Yes, at 2 months. People think I'm insane, but, you know, we're going to give it a try. You know, on the positive side, I hear that at that age, they're pretty easy to travel with.
They
so
are. Yeah.
I'm hoping for that.
Just
fingers
make
crossed.
Sure, you know, because the popping ear thing, you want to give him a beef jerky, Slim Jim, something for him to chew on. Maybe some, chewing tobacco works pretty well. Just a little something to keep his ears open during the flight.
Yes, this is the good advice I've been given, so I will make sure to do that.
<I'm just laughs>
well,
kidding.
Except for the beef jerky and the
pork rinds. No, no. He should have a bottle. That'll help.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We're all set for that, and hopefully things will go well, and he'll enjoy the warm weather.
Oh, you're going to have such a good time. That's nice.
I know. It's going to be
and
great.
And I know Grandma and Grandpa are excited.
Yes, actually, both sets of grandparents are down there, so
oh, wow.
We'll be there. Yeah, I'm doing a keynote in the middle of the month down there. And so it was just we're taking advantage of it. And don't worry, I'll still be doing the show. So I'll be doing work from down there, but I'll be doing work with a beach nearby. Which
That's
is
okay.
Really great.
Does Chris's family live in Florida or they just go down there? Are they snowbirds?
Yeah, they're snowbirds. So they spend 6 months just south of West Palm Beach. So we are actually staying down in that part of Florida, and my parents are coming to that part of Florida. Oh,
that's
this
a
time
beautiful
around.
So, part of Florida.
I know. I'm very excited. Yeah. I'm very, very excited. Packing, you know, it's not going so well, but I'll get there.
So we've got a big jam-packed show today. We're going to have your links, but we are also going to talk to TwitterJobSearch.com. What's that all about?
Yep. It's pretty self-explanatory, a place where you can search jobs. It launched recently, and I think it won an award at South by Southwest, or at least it launched there. And we're going to speak to the CEO, Howard Lee, from the UK, and we'll give him a call later on. And he is using, we'll talk about this later too, but a Skype app on his iPhone.
Oh, well, that'll be a first. Mm-hmm. That just came out today.
Yep, it will be a first, so we'll see how that goes. We're not guaranteeing great quality, but we're going to experiment because that's what our show is all about, Leo.
And Sarah Lane is back.
Yes, Sarah Lane is joining us as well with her web pick of the week. So she will be on towards the back half of the show, and she'll stick around with us until the end of the show.
Very good. Well, we'll get to your links and all this internet news and just, I wanted to say tech news, but it's really the web 2.0. News. Actually, Twitter job search, because it's semantic, mm-hmm. is probably web 3.0, isn't it?
Yes, I would say web 3.0. It's very cool. I've been playing around with it. I don't want to give it away too much, but I will say I was impressed. I thought it was just another, you know, Twitter app out there, but they've done a really nice job of the site.
You know, I've been using a new site that's also considered a part of the semantic web, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit too.
Ooh.
I'll add a little link to your link fest. Before I
you
do that,
you always add something, Leo.
Before I do that, I do want to mention the great GoToMeeting. We love GoToMeeting. I use it all the time. We're now using it on Maxwell's House, on some of our shows. GoToMeeting lets you show someone else your computer screen. It's that simple. You install it right now by going to GoToMeeting.com/night. Mac or Windows now. By the way, they have a Mac version as well as a Windows version, which they've had for some time. And so what you do is you go there right now. It's free for a month. Go to meeting.com/night. Before I'm done talking, you will have it installed. It's that easy. Just a couple of clicks of the mouse. And then you can have a meeting, an online meeting, you know, with anybody. You set up ahead of time and send them an email with a link to click, or even while you're on the phone with somebody. By the way, it comes with free voice over the internet and teleconferencing. So even your calls are free. You'll be talking to somebody and say, hey, I want you to see this. I got to show you the keynote presentation, or the PowerPoint presentation. Or I have to show you the documents, the files, or, you know, Ray shows us, diagrams and things like that. Go to gotomeeting.com. You don't have to create an account. Just give them the meeting ID, a couple of seconds for the software to download, the Java software, and boom, you are seeing Ray's computer screen on your computer. So he can show you. You can collaborate. You can work together. You can say, well, what do you think? You annotate it. You can even train. It's a really wonderful software. Free for the next 30 days. If you're in business, if you have meetings, if you're tired of traveling to your meetings, if you've ever tried the other guys, I've got to tell you, this is easier than any of them. Please give it a shot. Go to meeting.com/night, NIGHT. We use it here at Twit for all sorts of things. It's from Citrix. They do go to my PC, which we also use all the time. You're going to love it. Go to meeting.com/night. We thank them for their support. So Skype is out for the iPhone. Have you tried it yet?
I have not tried it yet, but it was some exciting news, and it's available in the U.S., in Canada, in the U.K., and elsewhere around the world. It's completely free, and I've heard great things about it so far. So it works through the internet. It's not as though it's an extra cost. It doesn't take up your minutes, for example. It doesn't go through the cellular system.
But for that reason, it also doesn't use 3G. You have to have Wi-Fi to use the phone part. You can use the chat on 3G. Let me launch it, because I've only made one call. I should call you. I've only made one call to the Skype lady, but she was quite nice.
Oh, really? And There's no video. We should mention that as well. Not yet.
Boy, that one would be cool. Days. The problem with the iPhone is the camera's on the wrong side, so it really isn't going to be that easy.
Yeah, it's not going to be that iPhone. It's going to have to be a new iPhone. But when they do get video down the road, and I'm sure that will happen, that's just going to change everything.
Wouldn't that
I
be
cannot
amazing?
Wait. Yeah. I know. The thought that I can have Skype video chats with you, Leo, every day.
I know, you're just dying, dying to do that.
I see you all the time.
Yeah, that's enough of that, she says. Let me call the Skype lady. You can just hear what this sounds like.
All right.
Here we go. Here, can I put it on speakerphone? I guess I can't. You can barely hear the little Skype lady. Oh, yeah, you can. You get the same thing as if you're on a regular phone call. Hi, Skype lady. It's Leo. I'm on my iPhone, talking to the Skype lady. Boy, is that wild! And so you still get the interface just like you're on a regular phone call. You can pause it. You get the dial pad.
Hi, Skype lady. It's Leo. I'm on my iPhone.
Isn't that cool? That's Skype.
I know.
Doesn't
it's
use
really
any
cool.
minutes, and it's free.
Yeah, exactly. It's free. Of course, if you have to have certain, you know, you might want to pay to have your Skype out account. So it works the same as if you were using Skype on the internet. So Just keep in mind, it's free to call Skype to Skype. But if you are calling a landline, you're just charged the same amount as you would be if you were sitting at your computer using Skype. So I'm super excited about trying it out.
iPhone and iPod Touch. Now, there have been other programs that do this, but not from Skype. They've all been kind of third-party programs that go through Skype. And through their own servers to Skype. So it's kind of a pain, but this is the official one.
It is the official one. And I read a recent article about this application, and Skype had made a comment that eventually they do want to get video working, but they said they have such a high standard for their video that it's going to take some time, obviously, to work out the kinks and all the different handsets. It's going to probably be a little difficult to do in the near future, but it will happen, Leo, one day.
Well, we use Skype, and we use Skype video. That's how we're talking to you right now, and it really is good video. I mean, Oprah uses it now. You're seeing it on CNN and other places. Everybody's using Skype video.
Everywhere. It's all over the place. You know, it's funny because, you've been using it forever on Call for Help.
Twit wouldn't exist. Call for Help, we used it to talk to you. That's right, yeah.
All the time. So it's a great application. It's one of those applications that I think people don't really know about. Not the mainstream don't know a lot about it, but hopefully more and more people start to use it, and it can save on their phone bills.
We talked about this on Mac Break Weekly yesterday. The 3.0 software does allow you to use Skype on a 3G phone. So I think Apple's saying it's up to the carrier whether they're going to allow that or not. But I'm pretty sure that AT&T, at least in the U.S., I don't know what Rogers will do, but AT&T, at least in the U.S., won't let you use 3G. Why would they let you use their network to make free calls? No.
No.
Sorry.
No. And we use, Rogers, you know, is not going to do that.
We're using this, you know, you're on this, for the video, we use Skypeosaurus. For anybody who watches us tape this show, we do, by the way, we do that every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, 2100 UTC, so you can watch it live.twit.tv. So we do put video up of Amber. But the Skypeosaurus that we built that allows us to do four different Skype calls, ESPN called Colleen and offered her a job.
No. It
just, yeah, that just shows you, I mean, mainstream TV is looking at what people are doing on the internet and saying, oh, we could do that for cheap. And they see the quality and they say, let's do it.
And amazing.
It is amazing. Colleen pointed out, I think she's right, a lot of athletes use Skype already on the road. So it'd be a way to talk to athletes, you know, in their hotel rooms and stuff like that. So,
so is Colleen leaving you, Leo?
She turned him down.
Aww.
Because she doesn't want to leave California, not because she has any affection for me at all.
I doubt that, Leo. I highly doubt that. So our next story is about Microsoft and the end of the road for Encarta, which was their CD-based encyclopedia product. I'm sure you've used it many times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they're not going to be producing it after October 31st of this year. Now, I've used Encarta now and again, but it was funny. I was talking to Will Pate, who is a co-host on Command N with me, and he was saying how sad he was because he used to use Encarta all of the time, and, you know, it had this sort of nostalgic type of feel to it, and you know, anyway, I think for a lot of people, you know, it's interesting news, but not a big surprise with all of the content you can get for free on the web.
Well, do you remember? I mean, I've been around. I'm an old timer. I remember when Encarta first came out. Do you remember how Microsoft got an encyclopedia in the first place?
No, I don't know the story.
They started with a print encyclopedia that was sold in the U.S. in grocery stores. They would
really,
you know, it was like green stamps or something. You would buy a certain amount of groceries, and if you bought enough groceries, you get a free volume, but you only got a volume a month. So you'd have to collect the encyclopedia over a period of like 2 years. And to be honest, I can't remember if it was Funk and Wagnalls or something. It was not the best encyclopedia in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, frankly, it was a good move for them to sell out to Microsoft. Microsoft said, oh, we'll fix it up. And they did. But at first, it was pretty weak. It was a very weak. I mean, the first Encarta CD was not good.
Not so good.
And the other thing was Bill Gates thought, oh, this encyclopedia will never get out of date because we'll supplement it with online material.
Guess that
didn't work. Guess that plan didn't work.
No. That's funny. I was just going to go ahead.
I remember that Encyclopedia Britannica, which is also selling print editions, was suffering real hard times because of Encarta, because of the DVD encyclopedias. People thought, well, why would I spend $200 or more? I have a world book. We bought when the kids were little. This is how stupid I am. As these things are going away, I bought. But I just thought it's history. It's in here right now. Leather bound, gilt edged. The World Book Encyclopedia. I just thought this would be a cool thing to have. And the kids, I thought,
museum.
Well, when I was a kid, I read the encyclopedia. We had the World Book, 1965 World Book. And I remember reading it. And I thought this was a great way for me to accumulate a lot of information. My kids never looked at it once. Because then this thing called the internet came along. And not only did they not want the print encyclopedia, World Book went out of business at Britannica. They didn't even want the DVD encyclopedia. They ended up just using Wikipedia and other online sources that were always up to date, right?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, it's funny. I saw Chris Anderson from Wired Magazine speak today, and we did an interview with him for Command N.
Oh, he's great.
And he's great. During his presentation, he showed the slide of an email that Bill Gates had sent out a few decades ago when he had first decided, it's a famous email, and I should say it's a note, actually, when he first decided that they should charge for software. Are you familiar at all with this note that he had sent out? I guess it's famous on the internet now.
The one where he was pissed off that people were pirating his software, or?
No, this is one where he talked about how for hobbyists using their software, they should start to charge. It shouldn't be free anymore.
Oh,
and he really
yeah.
changed the way, you know, because Chris Anderson has a book coming out this summer that's all about free and why everything should be free. But he went back into the history of when Bill Gates talked about actually starting to charge for software. But it was really interesting to see that. And then, you know, turn around and see this press release come out from Microsoft where they're stopping producing software like Encarta. Although they didn't mention that Wikipedia was an influence. I'm guessing it obviously is.
I guess they couldn't. They really, after a while, they couldn't really justify it. And, you know, towards the end, you'd get Encarta free with anything. You know, you'd buy anything free Encarta. You know, it's just when's the last time you put a CD-ROM in your computer?
Leo, I have a MacBook Air, so that's never happening.
But I'm telling you, I mean, everybody thought that was going to be the big thing 10 years ago, CD-ROMs. And so many companies, you know, the sad story was that companies would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on these and sell 10. They were the sales were terrible. Nobody was buying these. And then along comes the internet and forget it. So
yeah.
RIP Encarta, but it was just a matter of time.
Oh, definitely. So Leo, do you think we should get our guest on quickly
sure.
before we go into a couple more links, just because I know he's in the UK, so it's probably, it's much
late.
Later there.
Yeah. Let me get it. His name is Howard. What is his name?
Yes. His name is Howard Lee from Twitter Job Search.
All right. We're going to talk to Howard. He's going to actually talk to us on Skype. So I'm going to call him in a second. Before we do, I do want to mention audible.com real quickly before we get into that interview. Audible, of course, our sponsor for the show, audible.com/night, the place to go to get your audiobooks. Great stuff. 50,000 titles. Some of the best books. Just give me an example. Let's just see if the book you're reading right now, Amber MacArthur, is available in Audible. I mean, more and more every book is these days. What are you reading these days?
Oh,
how about are you reading Chris Anderson's book? Let me see if this is on there.
Yes, I have. I read actually
the long tail. That was it. The long tail.
Yeah, I think we had him on Inside the Net about the long tail, if I remember correctly.
Did we really? Wow.
I think we did, but it seems like a long time ago.
No, you know what? We tried to get him, and he said, I don't do Skype.
Oh, I knew we had some type of interaction.
We tried to get him, and he said, I can't. I don't do Skype. I bet he does Skype now. If you haven't read this, this is a classic. The Long Tail, While the Future of Business is Selling Less of More. And a perfect example, of course, is Amazon.com, where they sell they make most of their money not on the big bestsellers, but on all the little things you couldn't find before. Chris is a really smart guy, and this is a great book, and it is available unabridged on audible.com. Now, here's how you get it for free. You go to audible.com/night. You sign up for the Audible Gold account, and you'll get a credit toward a free book. Now, people sometimes say, well, wait, what if it's not available in my country? You still get the credit toward any book available in your country. I don't know. Every publisher has different deals in every country. That's why I can't tell you whether you can get it in your country. But take a look. This won the Audio Publishers Association Audio Award in 2007 for Best Business Audiobook. Really a great rendition by Christopher Nisley. Try it free. I think you're going to like audiobooks in the car, at the gym, in the garden. It's just wonderful to have a book to keep you company. And these aren't just people reading like robots. These are great performances. Audible.com/night. And we thank them for their support of the Net at Night show. All right, let's see if I can get Howard on his iPhone. This is a great test if this works.
It's an experiment.
Yeah, a testament to the power of Skype on the iPhone. I've not heard what it sounds like on the other end, so I'm very interested.
We'll see. Incidentally, Leo, Chris Anderson is giving away his next book free.
See?
A digital version of it online. So just so people know, you can buy the book, but you can also get it for free on the web when it comes out.
He's learning.
All right. Yeah.
Hey, Howard, how are you? Howard, can you hear us? So much for Skype.
It's not sounding so good, Leo.
Hello, Howard.
Hello?
He says he's online.
I can't hear anything.
No, me neither. I don't know if he... Let me type. Because Skype has chat in it, too, on the iPhone. Howard.
We'll find him.
Hear us.
Say, I'm typing Howard. Can you hear me? Huh.
Let's see.
I guess I could call him back.
It's yeah, we could try calling
it says
back.
It's 12:20 in the morning where he is. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Maybe it just picked up
sense.
And he's asleep. Listen for snoring.
All right. I don't hear any snoring. I'm a little concerned that maybe Howard...
I'm going to call him again.
Isn't working.
Tell us what Twitter job search is.
Sure. So Twitter job search is a search engine, so you can find jobs that are posted on Twitter. Now, they have almost 40,000 jobs on the website, and the way that you search is you go into the site, and let's say that I wanted to search for a web design job in San Francisco. That's all I put into the search field, and then click on search, and then all those jobs will come up. Now, I think where this is useful is that many of us go to sites like Craigslist or Monster.com to search for jobs. Some of those postings are a little old. What's neat about this is almost like it's not a real-time search engine, but it is scouring all of the different job postings on Twitter. So you are getting up-to-date job postings, which is handy for anyone who is desperate for work and needs to find information now. So it works really well. I played around with it a little bit. I mean, obviously, some of the results that come up aren't directly for job postings. People could be talking about jobs. But for the most part, it works okay.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Howard.
Thanks for having me on.
Amber was just explaining what Twitter job search is all about.
That's great. Yeah, we launched a week and a half ago, and it's fun. We're it's a new service for us, and we're getting a lot of interest.
I can't believe this. Before we talk about this, you're on the iPhone.
I am on the iPhone. Yeah.
On the Skype.
This is my first call on Skype on the iPhone, and I got your calls coming in, but there was you couldn't hear me, so I called back, and it's actually worked this time.
You know what? It was my fault. I think I had patched through wrong. I can't believe how good it sounds.
It sounds great. I'm kind of amazed, Leo. So people can do interviews with us when they're on the go.
I think they can. So how did you, Howard? I mean, this is one of the things that it's pretty obvious when you look at Twitter that there's a lot of information in there. And this makes perfect sense to mine it just for job search information. How did you get that idea?
Sure. In the UK, we've been building a job search engine for the last couple of years, and we've been building some semantic and contextual tools to extract information out of text. And actually, in the last 30 days, about over 120,000 job openings have actually been posted to Twitter. But nobody can find them because you've got Twitter's, search engine, which, you know, people are using hashtags and typing in the word job, and they're just getting everything back, you know, millions of tweets that have got the word job in or people talking about jobs, but not actual job openings. So what we're doing is we're analyzing all of these tweets every day, and there might be 10,000 that look like jobs. We then analyze those, and then if they've got a link, we'll follow that link. We'll go and look to see, is it an actual job posting? If it is, we'll extract all the information out of that job posting and organize it. And then what Twitter job search does is provide a really kind of simple interface to actually drill down all of that information. So whereas kind of previously, if a Twitter user was tweeting about they're looking for a project manager, only their network, immediate network, would actually know about it.
What do you look for? Do you look for keywords? How do you know when it's... First of all, I mean, I would think if somebody's posting a job on Twitter, they're going to say something like job opening, right?
It's all different types of things. You've got a real mixture on Twitter. You've got job boards posting some tweets. You've got individual companies or actually just individuals that are looking for to recruit someone, and it's all different types of tweets. And what we're doing is actually there's only so much information that's contained within that tweet, and a lot of it isn't useful to someone that's outside of that immediate network. So if you don't know the location of the person within that network, within their followers might know where that person lives or works, but someone outside of that network wouldn't. So what we're doing is we're adding all of that information from what we know about either the information that's contained within the job posting that might be linked to from that tweet or from the profile of that tweet Twitter user. So we're adding a lot more context. And what we're doing is actually using contextual tools rather than just doing keyword searches, which is what, you know, people have been using up to this point on search.twitter.com.
What I think is really neat too is you've added some more functionality when you actually are searching for a job where you have the link to view the job, you can retweet the job, which I'm sure a lot of people want to do, or you can follow that person. So you've added more functionality to the search engine. What has been the reaction from people using the service? Any success stories about them finding work this way?
I couldn't give you an actual example of someone finding work yet. I mean, it's only a week and a half old, so it's early days, but I think there will be. But we've had a great response from the Twitter community. We had a lot of traffic, and you know, we launched at South by Southwest. We had a lot of traffic in the first week. It's still going strong. There's been a lot of interest on Twitter itself, and we're actually getting getting all of our feedback through Twitter. So on the actual Twitter job search, we've got a buzz page, which is actually really our QA. It's any feedback, good or bad, any problems with the site, any problems with the search. You know, we're using that, the Twitter community, to actually help us build a better job search engine for Twitter. So we're really, really pleased with the response. You know, it started off as a kind of a fun project, you know, in addition to our core business. And actually it's really captured, I think, the imagination of what can be done with the really valuable information that is contained within Twitter. It's just buried, and tools like this, with what we're trying to do is extract all of that information out and make something useful, for a particular, you know, for a particular service like this, for finding work.
Now that you've solved it, Howard, maybe you should try solving it for other
Well, areas. I wouldn't say we've solved it. We've got a long way to go, but I think that it's, you know, we've been building these tools for the last 3 years. So it was a really interesting project for us to actually see how it would apply to something like Twitter. And it's... What really amazed me was actually the sheer volume of job openings that were actually being posted to Twitter, yeah. which you know, it puts it currently, you know, in the top 10 job sites in the US in terms of actually volume of jobs. Yeah,
wow.
I mean, absolutely.
Wow.
So,
that's amazing.
You know, that was something that amazed me. And actually, and it's not just... It's not just large feeds of jobs. It's actually lots and lots of individual Twitter users posting job openings.
Sure, so, that makes sense. You know, if I needed somebody, I would actually, at least in my business, I'd like somebody who knew enough to be following me, knew what I was doing. That would be a good place to go for something like that. How hard was it to work with Twitter? Did you contact them? Are you a partner with them? Or are you just using their API? How are you working with Twitter?
Twitter have been great, actually. They've built a really great platform, and they're really keen to work with companies like ours to actually build services on top of their platform.
Has there been any talk of money exchanging hands, or is
No. We're using their API. They've given us sort of extended access to allow us to make a number of requests to their service on top of what they would normally allow.
Right.
So, you know, they're quite happy to work with us and to build a service like this. Obviously, it's, you know, that seems to be a large part of their business model. Well, their business, I wouldn't say business model, because I don't know what that is yet. But
right. But they don't care. I mean, if things like this validate what they're doing in a great way, I mean, you're mining data out of this Twitter stream that's very specific. You're doing it effectively. It's showing that there's huge value in what they've got.
Yeah, I think there is real huge value in the data.
Yeah, that's why I think it's to be a great business. If you do solve problems with how do we parse it? How do we get the semantic information out of these 140 byte messages. If you do figure that out, it seems like you could do it in a whole lot of different ways. I mean, for instance, yeah. I would think Comcast would love more than just a plain search for Comcast using search.twitter.com to follow people who are having trouble with their service. Many businesses would. That would be a great side business.
Sure.
You must have,
sure. I think
you must have thought about that.
Yeah, there are you know, companies out there that are doing that are building services that are looking for keywords and within Twitter and allow people to customize that particular sort of search.
Massage this feed in some way.
Pardon?
Just massage this feed in some way to make it more valuable to a particular group.
Yeah. And so, you know, and some people are going, companies like ours are going beyond what's been tweeted and actually trying to add additional information, additional context to actually make it more useful. So, you know, a lot of job postings just don't, you know, on Twitter don't include a location. But because of the way what we're doing and going out and spidering.
You can look at the profile or something.
Well, what we're looking at
the
profile.
That's the most helpful part.
We're looking at the profiles. We're also following any links, inspiring any pages that are linked to from the tweet, which often link to the actual job post, or and then taking all that information and adding that. So it's information that isn't within Twitter. It's we're going beyond the tweets, really.
Beyond the tweets, as PECNJ in our chat room says, it's not data mining. It's Twitter mining. It is. It's more than just data mining in this case. You have to dig deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. To make it useful.
Very cool. And you know what? I can't believe how great you sound on the Skype application.
I can't
on
either.
I'm cool that it actually worked. When you called and you couldn't hear me, I thought
that was my fault.
It would have been a disaster.
I had a button pushed wrong. I want to take full culpability for that.
Okay.
I looked over on the recording and I saw your waveform going hello hello hello, and I thought, oh, I'm doing something wrong.
Oh no!
So, you know, good on for Apple and Skype. You know, it works and it works well.
Excellent.
So you were able
to
get this,
bed.
Howard. You were able to get this in the British Apple Store in Apple Store UK.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we just downloaded it straight onto my iPhone.
Great.
In fact, our whole team did. So most of them have got iPhones, so it's they've been playing with it today. So I thought I'd give it a go.
Very good. Thank you, Howard.
Very cool. Thanks for having me on.
Yes.
We're glad you joined
us. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Get some sleep.
I will.
All right. Good night.
Take care.
Bye. Wow, that worked really well.
I can't believe that, Leo.
Now, somebody said in the chat room that it's not available in Canada because of patent issues.
You know what? I don't know what they're talking about because I know a couple of people who have downloaded it.
So you have seen it. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And, you know, even if you go on to theglobemail.com, there's an article about it, about how it is available in Canada. So I'm not sure what the issue is. And like I said, I've even seen people on Twitter talk about it.
Oh,
so,
okay. So
I think it is possible.
They're mistaken. They're mistaken.
Yes.
Masa Media in our IRC chat room says he's using it in Germany as well. Works in Germany.
Oh,
well.
Nice.
Yeah. This is a revolution. If I were in the phone business, I would be so pissed off.
I would say
we are in such deep trouble between this and Google
deep
Voice.
Trouble.
Wait till you get Google Voice in Canada. I don't know if you're going to, but it is amazing.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
Well, I'm sure we'll get it at some point. But yeah, I would not want to be in the phone business or in the broadcast business. There's a lot of businesses I would not want to be in right now. Definitely rocky times. So just a couple more links before Sarah joins us.
Okay.
One is you can now watch Dignation on Facebook. There is a tab on the Dignation fan page. You can obviously see videos before on Facebook, but what this is a special place on the fan page where you can go and you can watch the most recent episodes. The videos look great. So I thought this was pretty cool for a lot of content creators in terms of promoting their stuff online, even for shows like Twit, for example.
That's interesting. I wonder if they're doing something special or if this is just kind of built-in capability. There was a big announcement today that Adobe is working with Facebook and Facebook application developers to allow you to use Flash in your applications, which will allow, I mean, think about it. If you ever played Scrabulous, you know, the ability to have Flash in there would make a huge difference to the richness of the interface and so forth. Well, that's interesting. So it's the Dignation fan page, huh?
Yeah, the Dignation fan page.
Do you think they're doing something special?
You know what? I don't think so, but I'm not positive. It's not clear in a lot of the articles that I've read. I mean, they're using a widget that's available. So I think that it's available to everyone. But I'm thinking maybe they have some specific relationship with Facebook, which maybe is sprucing it up a little bit. But eventually I can imagine that everyone will be able to do something like this. And if you just think about it with all of the people on Facebook, like I'm thinking of Commanda and the video podcasts I do, how great it would be to truly promote it on Facebook, because now there's no great way to do that. You know, I can share the link, you know, I can post little video clips, but to actually have a dedicated page where people can come and watch the show, all of a sudden that opens us up to this huge population
how they're doing
on
it.
Facebook.
I see how they're doing it. It's something called iWidgets at iWidgets.com.
Okay.
And it allows you to not only syndicate your content, but embed it on MySpace and Facebook and other sites. So that's the technique. I'm going to have to go give them a ring, because it is pretty cool. When you go to the Dig Nation fan page, you immediately, get Revision 3 video. This is from their Bit Gravity player directly, so it's full quality. It's very interesting that it's been playing right within the Facebook page. You don't have to leave it. And it's the same quality that you would get if you went to Revision 3.
I think that was a thing that made me kind of surprised, because whenever I've watched video on Facebook, I've always found that the quality is really not that great. So it was good to see the quality really increased here. Yeah. So Leo, maybe a Twit fan page needs to be in the works.
Well, there is. I think there is a Twit fan page. I just have to
is there?
Talk to iWidget. Well, I don't own it. I have a Leo Laporte fan page. Maybe I do own a Twit fan page, come to think of it. You know, I created fan pages way back when they weren't very useful. So I didn't pay much attention to them. And now they really have become every bit as powerful as a regular page on Facebook. You can, you know, you have a wall, you have a feed, people can follow your feed and so forth. So I'm now thinking, okay, maybe I should go back and pay a little bit more attention to my Facebook fan pages.
I know. We got to do the same thing with Command N.
Let's see. Yes, there is a Twit fan page. And guess when I created it? April 2005.
See, Leo, you're ahead of the curve, and this is causing problems.
We have 2,350 fans who've been neglected terribly. I don't know if, am I the owner of this? I think I am. Son of a gun. Founded April 2005. Maybe that's because that's when Twit was founded. Well, anyway, if you want to become a fan, it must be me, because my favorite page is Leo Laporte on the Twit fan page. So it's got to be me. So I guess what I have to do is I have to get in here. So we really need a community manager. I should put a Twitter job search for a community manager. So if you get
that
in here, search for Twit on Facebook, join our fan page there. I'll find out how to do that widget thing so we could put some of our video in there, which would be really awesome.
That would be really great.
You'll also see the Leo Laporte fan page in there. There are several Leo Laporte fan pages. The one that's official, my fan page, is the one that has a picture of me on the screensavers set and is linked off of that Twit fan page. That's the official.
The official.
Leo Laporte fan page. 8,111 fans. And looks like Sarah Lane's one of them. So there you go.
That is good. And she's going to be joining us just in a couple of minutes. But Leo, I just wanted you to talk for maybe a minute or two about a video that you posted on your blog, the remix video from Lessig's blog.
Yeah, Larry Lessig is so cool. His newest book is called Remix, and a great book to read. It's all about really the remix generation. You know, Larry Lessig was a Stanford law professor. I think he's going back to Harvard. But he is a former Yalie and a very smart guy, an expert in intellectual property law. He's the creator of the Creative Commons license, which we use for all of our shows. And so he's really an expert on this notion of the commons, the public commons, that there, if it weren't for this, you know, you need patents and you need copyrights to protect people who invent something. You got to give them a reward for creating something, but it's not a permanent reward. That's kind of what it's become, at least in this country. You know, the copyright now extends basically forever as Disney keeps extending it out into the future. And that's not how it was intended by the founding fathers or any of the early thinkers in copyright law. The idea was you reward the person who comes up with something creative for a little while, let them reap the benefits, but then release it into the public domain so that others can build on it. Disney very famously, you know, made his mark taking Cinderella, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, even Mickey Mouse was, Steamboat Willie was based on a character created only a year before, in 1924, I think. But as soon as Disney got that copyright on Mickey Mouse, they've made sure that that copyright never expires. By doing so, they've made sure that anything that's older than 1927 anything younger than 1927 will never come out of copyright. So we're losing a whole generation, several generations now of public domain material that people could build upon. So he says the key in all of this is the remix, the idea that people can build upon what's been there. And you see it in the web hugely with mashups. The mashups are kind of illicit. They're kind of violate copyright law, but man, they're cool. And this is an amazing one. It's called Cut Cutty Man Through You, 01, Mother of All Funk Chords. And I would guess, Amber, that what he's done is taken a bunch of YouTube music videos, some of them educational, and mash them up into a song.
It's very cool.
Should I play a little bit of it?
Yeah.
I'll just play a little bit of it. You would do better probably to either go to Larry Lessig's blog or go to YouTube and watch it. I put it on my Tumble log because I thought it was so cool.
Well, what can I do?
It could play that 16th note groove just straight.
So these are just guys from their own YouTube videos. Looks like guitar lessons. There's one guy playing the drums, one guy playing the conga. Not intended to be a band. Mm-hmm. But Cuttyman has mixed them all together.
Going. You'll be amazed.
Okay. Do it again. All right.
More than one guitar part. There'll okay. be somebody playing single notes, somebody playing chords, and they'll mix them together.
Okay. And let's just pick the mother of all funk chords. Let's pick a ninth chord.
And now these are videos of horn players, including a kid who's about six. And he's going to mix this in, too. You've got to see the video, because then you can see who's doing what.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's a guy playing a harmonica. I mean, I think this is so cool.
But very cool.
The point of it, and the reason Larry Lessig puts it up on his blog, is just to show what remixing can do. He says...
And isn't he coming out with a book called Remix? I think I read that somewhere.
Yes. His book is called Remix. So I'll look for... I don't know if it's... Is it out yet, or is it coming out?
I don't think so.
Making art and commerce thrive in the hybrid, he calls it the hybrid economy.
I can't wait to read that.
Yeah, I can't either.
And Leo, before we get Sarah on, I have to say that a bunch of people wrote me on Twitter, and it turns out that the Skype iPhone app is actually blocked in Canada.
What?
It is unavailable. I don't know why. So maybe when the Globe Mail article was written, they didn't have a lot of information about it, but it is now blocked, and it is blocked due to some type of licensing agreements. I don't really understand that, but not a ton of information about this. But I guess the people who I saw on Twitter who had it, who are Canadian, they might've been down in the States, or who knows, they have access to the US iTunes store.
There's a workaround. That's what they're saying. There's a way around it.
There's a way around everything.
I think probably is using it through the iTunes store. Because if you don't have to buy it, there's no way that they can verify that you are who you say you are, right?
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Okay, well, we should get Sarah on.
Well, of course. I love it. Sarah, let's see if she's back in the conference room at Current, or if she's gone home.
Yeah.
She called us last time from the conference room at Current. Let's see if we get Sarah Lane on the phone here. There she is in the conference room at Current once again.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Amber. How are you guys?
Very good.
Good.
Chatting tech.
And Web 2.0.
And Ned at night. You know, it's funny. You know how you said my Logitech camera was so great last week?
Yeah.
This week, the brick wall is throwing it all off.
No, it looks good. It looks fantastic.
This is my eyesight.
Oh.
I'm using my eyesight. Oh. The Logitech was like, I don't understand your white balance. The bricks. Yeah. So anyway, I guess you can't tell. I shouldn't even have said anything.
Shh. No, this looks fantastic. You know what I think the key is? I think the key is that Current has more bandwidth than God.
Yeah, that's great.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm glad. Well, you know, it can be deceiving because when you check out your video settings in Skype, sometimes it looks better than it ends up looking for the other person.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So I'm glad it's all working out.
It looks really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very clear. I'm very jealous. I have video envy right now, Sarah.
You look good too. You look good too. No, don't worry.
I wish I could see Amber. I can't.
We're working on that. We're going to do in fact, by next week we'll be able to send video back into Skype, so you'll be able to see the whole.
That's awesome. So kind of complete the loop. So we're really, it's really as if we're all sitting here talking to each other.
Skypeosaurus is getting better all the time.
It's like the Skypeosaurus is in our living rooms.
Pretty soon we'll just sit here and video chat all the time. You know, that's what my son does. Is he's, you know.
Well, that is what you do, Leo.
That is what I do. What am I thinking? Yeah, I see you guys. I see everybody, but I want everybody to see each other as well. So we're working on that. You know
who
we had in studio?
Been so fun.
You know who we? It's been fun. We just talked about Twitter search. You know who we had in studio on Sunday, and I wish I'll have to get you to come up too. Becky Worley and John C. Dvorak were both in studio.
You know, I had a couple of kind of weird emails from people saying, Sarah, you need to check in. Things are getting weird up in the cottage.
It was like, getting weirder and weirder. It was
really?
Well, we have a new sponsor. We open a bottle of wine or two. We have a little tasting. It's you got to come up, Sarah, some Sunday and do Twit with us. Especially if we could do a Dvorak.
Pick your Sunday.
Every Sunday. Especially if we can do a Dvorak and Worley thing. She used to produce Silicon Spin, didn't she? So she really stood up to John. She knew how to push his buttons. It was
Becky used to produce Silicon Spin before Call for Help?
She was the launch producer for Call for Help and the Screensavers.
Uh-huh.
I think they put her, maybe it was Annalisa for a while. I don't know if, maybe I think for some reason that she might have. She certainly had no respect for John, so.
Well.
I don't want to leave you out, Amber. This is Tech TV before your time.
Oh, no, that's okay. I'm
you know
listening.
The players. I know you know the players.
Intently, I do. I do know the players. Yeah. Always interesting.
We don't die. We just keep reemerging somewhere and talking about the old days.
It's true. Tech TV people never die. We just fade away.
Yes.
Reminisce.
Or no.
Hey, before we do your bit, because I know you want to talk about a website, I just want to remind everybody about Squarespace. And one of the reasons I use you as an example is because you moved your blog to Squarespace. I'm actually in the process of moving leoville.com to Squarespace. I'm just
and at first
fan.
You didn't think that Squarespace had quite the features because Leoville, you know, there's a lot going on there. And so I'm happy to hear that you think that they're the right folks for you.
They schooled me. They schooled me. Well, their designers got a hold of it and they've made it look even better and more features and so forth. And they've given me some access to some unusual features and I think I'm going to have to spread the word on this because nobody knows how to do this, but you can use Discus, the Discus Comet. That was actually one of the things I was really worried about was I want to, because I'm so dependent on Discus Comets in my WordPress blog. You know, this is going to be so much easier than WordPress. I'm really excited about it. Squarespace.com, if you're looking to set up a blog, a website of almost any kind, a photo blog, go to squarespace.com/night. You can try it for free for 2 weeks. If you use the coupon code night when you sign up, you'll get 10% off. But try it first, because the thing about Squarespace is they have great import stuff for movable type, TypePad, WordPress, all the big blog engines. So you can get your data in from the old blog site really easily. And this is really important and shows you how much these guys care. You can also get it out again. A lot of these sites are kind of one-way roach motels. I don't think you're going to want to leave Squarespace, but the point is they believe enough in their product that they don't keep you from leaving. If that's what you want to do, you're going to love Squarespace.
It is. You know, I was saying something to someone about this the other day. I think it's a classy move to say, listen, you know, if you don't like it, you can go. We're not going to get weird about it or steal your content or make it so that you can't do what you want to do. And it has been hard for me in the past to move off of sites once I got really entrenched. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, there's no risk. You're going to love it. The ability to drag column widths around, to add widgets with drag and drop. I mean, just the power of this. It's got built-in forms, built-in photo galleries, and you're not doing the hosting. They are, with some special hosting technology that allows them to add capability, to add hosting bandwidth as you need it. So you never have to worry about being dug or slash dotted or twitted. You just can't twit a Squarespace blog. Squarespace.com, that's their new slogan. You just can't twit. Because we bring down sites right and left. You can't do it. Squarespace.com/night. I want you to go there right now and give it a try. Squarespace.com/night. Free for 2 weeks. 10% off if you use the coupon code night if you decide to sign up. They're really nice guys. I love them.
I see your testimonial that you're blown away.
Amber, I don't know if you've tried it. Have you looked at it?
I have. Yeah, I have tried it. In fact, Chris, my boyfriend, he has been using Squarespace for a really long time.
Oh, you're kidding.
Pretty much. Yeah, he loves it. So he's had a site up there, and I've played around with the admin tool, and it was so dead
easy.
So yeah. I'm also a big fan.
Yeah. Well, he's a photographer. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a photographer. So he got his all of his photos up there. It's just at chrisdick.com. You can see his photo galleries. He puts up video stories that we do, and he loves it. I mean, I remember when he was playing around with it, how quickly he actually got a site up. I mean, obviously it happened, you know, within, I don't know if it was a couple of hours, and then he started tweaking it. And
Beautiful.
Really beautiful.
Did he start with one of the existing templates, or did he do his own, or...?
I think he eventually started with one of the existing templates and then started customizing it a little bit with his own banner. And then, you know, I don't know if he's finding plugins, but, you know, he needed a lot more functionality to be able to lay out his portfolio than was available on services like Typepad. So he decided to go for this one. And I know that he loves it. Even when I watch him editing it, I see how slick that interface is. So you're really just seeing your website as it stands with the editing functionality
Laid on top. It's WYSIWYG layout. It's amazing.
It's really, really amazing. So, I think at some point I need to put my site up there.
I can help you.
Right now,
I know people.
Yes,
there.
You need to help me.
I can help you get it done.
Well, Amber, are you still using Typepad?
You know what? I'm using Typo. Does anyone know Typo?
She's using kind of this weird thing that she found.
Typo?
I know. Yeah, I know. You know what? It's funny because I was using Typepad for a really long time, and I liked it. But then you kind of grow out of some of these services, right? And you need something more. And then I work really closely with a small web design shop in Toronto, and one of the admin guys wanted to try Typo, so I was open to trying a new tool. And I do like it, but it involves a little bit of hacking in the back end. It's not a very slick kind of interface, and it works okay for me, but I feel like I'm ready to go to something else that's a little more manageable. As fun as it is kind of hacking around, and you know, when someone goes into my admin tool and they try to do something like add a photo to a blog post, it's actually really complicated. And in some ways, I love that it is. You know, I'm like, okay, well, you need to go here and then go there and click on this and then go
back.
Let
me be a hero for a second and show you how Typo works.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like, right? You know, you know all the little hacks to the admin tool and you start to like it, but it's just too time consuming, and I find I don't blog very much because of the tool itself. So I think I'll try Squarespace out.
Is this your baby
Leo
announcement?
I might take you up on your own.
All right, we'll set you up.
Yeah, that's my baby there somewhere.
The story of Connor, is this the birth announcement? That's so cool.
Connor. Oh, Leo, there's one in the mail for you.
I got one.
Don't worry.
I got one. Oh, actually, I haven't gotten the mail. I got an email. So you sent me one? Good.
No, there's an actual printed version coming.
And look, it's got the Twit logo on it. That's so cute. Oh,
he's a very cute baby.
Oh, look at this picture. This is the most amazing. You're fortunate because Chris is like a brilliant photographer. And look at that picture.
Oh, I know. He gets the craziest photos. I think you're looking at the one where
he's making the fingers sign there.
Yeah, he has his hands up and he's on a furry little blanket, and he's got the best look on his face. Anyone can check it out just at chrisdick.com in the photos. I think it's
so great.
At the top of his blog post. But yeah, it's fun. Dating a photographer has its benefits, you know.
Amber, you're more than dating now.
I know. I am. I know. It's still,
we're
it's
hanging
still
out.
Still,
we're spending
still
some time.
Single on my Facebook account. People are emailing me all the time. Why does it still say single? And my issue with that is anytime you change your status on
it's a big
Facebook,
announcement.
It's a big announcement, and I just feel like I don't want to. You know, I don't need all the congratulations like at this point. So I just I can't.
Congrats, Amber. You found someone.
She's doing it completely backwards. She bought the house. Then she met the guy. Then she had the baby. I don't know what's going on with you, Amber. You just don't want to do anything like anybody else does, do you?
And I lived with my best friend from grade six until November. All three of us lived together. It was like three's company, except I was 7 months pregnant. It was just bizarre.
So you finally kicked her out, huh?
Yeah, Jenna left in December. I mean, not that long ago.
All right. Well, anyway, this is going to be a great ad for Squarespace if you go to chrisdick.com, because you'll see what a wonderful site it is. So let's talk about, are we going to do this on a regular basis, just have Sarah pop by? I think it's really great.
Yes.
It's fun.
Every show, if she's up for it.
Wonderful.
You know, the great thing is this show is such a great outlet for me to talk about stuff that I like, because, you know, sometimes you get... You don't feel like writing a blog post, or you don't want to overuse Twitter with, hey, check out this fun thing. But we go into depth enough on this show when it's about the internet, which, of course, is all I really think about. So as long as you guys want me to pop in and tell you about something cool that I found, I am happy to do so.
Deal.
Oh, definitely.
So today you're going to show us Pico Cool. What's that?
Pico Cool. So, all right. So if you pull up Pico Cool, which is just a cute little name in general, it kind of comes across as a collection of interesting links that seems to have a dig-ish vote-up type of a structure. But when you spend a little time there, you realize that there's a real sort of design, artistic, progressive type of a theme going on. And people go, well, what does that mean? So I had a hard time sort of explaining it. But for example, in the upper left-hand corner right now, there's a ping pong dining table, and it's this really beautiful dining table that you'd see in a very fancy home in Pacific Heights, San Francisco or something. And you click on it, and it gives you a link to where this actual DuPont Corian Surface ping pong table could be bought and where the person found it. So you have the source, and it tells you who it's posted by. Now, the neat thing about Pico Cool, and this is actually really important, is that it's a small community of people, at least right now. It's invite only. So the votes, you know, it doesn't take a lot of votes to get homepage placement, let's say. However, I do have a code for people who want to be part of Pico Cool.
Good, because I want to join.
So should I give you the code now, or do you want to hear more about it first?
Well, we've already brought the site down, so you might as well.
I know. I can't even get to the site.
No, kidding. Oh, I'm so bummed.
I pulled it up before you said anything, just knowing that I had to do that. Look at the stuff on here, like robot sand garden stuff.
It's a very eclectic mix of stuff. And I think Emily Chang is the lovely woman who put this together. This is her baby.
I follow her on Twitter. What is her? Where did she come from?
You know, Emily Chang, it's funny. I follow her on Twitter, too. I consider her my internet friend. I've never met her.
Me neither.
I've never met her in real life, IRL. We're not IRL friends. But Emily, she does a lot of stuff. Now I can't get to Pico Cool. Great.
You can't either.
You took it down.
Don't you remember from the screensavers, you always have to bring up a site.
But
you can't go to another page. Neither can I.
You can't go to another page.
You have to cache all. This is what live TV used to be like. You'd have to cache every page before you put it up.
I'm viewing screenshots on Flickr. That's how desperate I've gotten.
Good. Anyway, so Emily Chang, she does a lot of really cool stuff. And I encourage you to go to emilychang.com and find out more about her.
Wait a minute. Don't go there yet.
But wait.
Can't get in.
Anyway, she was kind enough to give me an invite some time ago because I kind of discovered her online. I thought, well, she seems like she's really sort of a cool chick. She's in the know. She obviously is a beautiful designer, and she seems to have really interesting ideas. So I signed up for Pico Cool, and I admit I'm mostly a lurker. I just kind of like to lurk around. But I liken this site to, you know, when this sounds a little corny, but sometimes you just want to look at some inspirational stuff. And I don't mean like religious inspiration or, you know, anything too heavy handed, but interesting, artistically yes. based, kind yes. of just fun ideas, something that gets you kind of out of whatever you're doing. And many parts, you know, is visually beautiful. Now I use Tumblr, and on my Tumblr dashboard, I follow a lot of people who they post a lot of, you know, really beautiful pictures or interesting pieces of whatever, you know, a lot of architectural stuff. Pico Cool, for some reason, is better. I see more at once.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of being able to vote, and it's less of a social network in the blog sense where you're liking and reblogging, and it's just more simple than that. It's a very simple concept. You find something that you think that the Pico Cool community is going to dig. Ha ha ha, no pun intended. And then you submit it. If people like it, then it'll get to the front page and it'll be part of the popular item. So, you know, on the top of Pico Cool, you've got sort of the usual suspects. You've got popular items. This is stuff that people have already liked. And for the most part, you probably will end up liking them too. Recent items are new. So if you submit something, it'll go into recent items. You can browse by tag. And browsing by tag is actually kind of nice because there's sort of tag clouds. So you get a sense of what the most popular tags are. A lot of design, art, photography, things like that. So yeah, if you're kind of one of those artsy 2.0 people, I definitely think that you'll like the site.
I want to meet Emily Chang.
I do too. Yeah. You know, she's awesome. Believe me. I've kind of internet stalked her in a very platonic way. And I'm a pretty big fan. She and I keep saying we're going to get coffee soon. She lives here in the city. It just hasn't happened yet, but now she's going to be all famous, so now I really want to.
Well, I think
so
she already is.
She's
nominated yes. for a Cooper Hewitt National Design Award. She's now Publix 50 Most Influential Individuals in Silicon Valley. I think she's famous already.
It's a pretty big deal. Why don't we try to get her on Net at Night next week?
Let's get her on. Let's talk to her. Emily, I know she's watching. If you want to come on, we're going to get a hold of you and put you on. Her company, Idea Codes, is a design company. And clearly she's got a great eye for design. I mean, just
she really,
really neat.
She does. Yeah. And I got, you know, it's like, I don't know about you. Well, Amber, you do too. I don't really, I mean, I fool around, but I usually, if I want something to look really good, I feel like I need help. So I really admire people who just have it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you know what? I followed her. I actually have followed her work for the past few years.
Oh, isn't that funny?
And it's interesting that her name just kind of pops up again now. But
we're all following her. That's so funny.
Isn't that weird? Leo, I follow her.
Yeah.
I can't even really tell you how I came across Emily and Pico Cool. You know, I couldn't even tell you. You know, sometimes you just come across people and then they're interesting and they become part of your lives. Okay, so here's the code.
Okay, I'm ready. Okay.
I wish I'd written it down. Maybe I can. I know what I can do. Here, let's do this. This is gonna be fun.
Are you gonna write it on a whiteboard?
Yes, I am.
Write it on Al Gore's forehead. Is he there today? All right.
We're waiting for you to get Al Gore.
One of these days,
no
Al
pressure.
Gore is gonna show up.
Oh, I know.
Oh,
yeah,
listen to the clanking. You didn't bring your headset today. I could tell.
All right, so I'm taking off my headphones.
Okay.
Now it's.
Okay, she's going to write it on the board. I don't know if we're going to be able to see this very clearly. I'll put it in the lower third as well.
And we'll actually say it out loud for people who are listening. They're probably kicking.
You know, there are a lot of people listening in audio who have no idea what's going on. So Sarah's gone over to the whiteboard, and she's now writing this in a way that we can't really see it. What is it?
You can't see it.
We can't see it. This is good. You're just teasing us. No, you're pointing it the wrong way. Hello? Oh, if we lost her, I'm going to be mad.
Oh, no. We can't even get the code. This is like the biggest tease of all time.
Did you get
I hear her come back.
No?
Sarah, you have to tell us the code. We're dying.
Tell us what it is. I'll just put it on the screen here.
Turn it. I failed.
That was
failed
very clever. Life. No, that was good. That was very, it was in a unique and innovative way to use live television.
Okay. So, two.
Two.
E is in Emily.
E.
M is in Magic.
Magic.
C is in C. Frank. Three, four. E is in Emily. C is in Cool.
All right, there it is. There's the Pico code. 2EMZ83FEC. Is that correct?
Four. The letter four, not F.
Not, oh, crumb. The number four, instead of FEC, it's 4EC. Like that. Two, EMZ834EC for Emily Chang.
Yay!
Yay! Okay, I think we got it. So that's it. So now what do? We go sign up there and...
Sarah, that's your little invite code when poor Pico Cruel comes back from being under the weather.
I'm sorry, Emily. We didn't bring it down.
Yeah, sorry, Emily. Jeez. Well, that's good, though, right? There's something good about that. A lot of people have found out about it, and now the site's down.
Emily's going, I didn't know what was going
on. Emily's hating us right now.
She's like, thanks, Sarah. Awesome.
Sarah, you're the best. It's great to talk to you. Amber MacArthur, great to talk to you. We've got the we've got a lot more on the show notes. Don't forget, you can catch Sarah Lane on This Week in Fun every Friday right here on the Twit Network at live.twit.tv at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern.
On this Friday, I talked to him and I confirmed he will be back in studio today. So I'm so happy about that.
So this Friday, tune in. And we are going to make this an audio podcast. It will be a video podcast eventually, but we're going to do an audio podcast this week. So I'll give you the information on how to subscribe to that starting this week. So that's going to be our newest Twit podcast, is This Week in Fun.
Super exciting and fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Thank you so much. We owe it all to Leo.
No, you don't. You don't owe me nothing. I owe you guys. And also, of course, Amber MacArthur, watch her at CommandN.TV. That's her great video podcast every week. You'll see a little bit of Connor in there every once in a while.
Every once in a while, he's hanging around.
And on CP24 in Canada and right here at Net at Night. And you can watch this show go live every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, 2100 UTC, if you want to watch us do it live. Emily Chang, we're sorry we brought your site down. But
Emily, please still have coffee with me.
But you can follow her. Here, we'll make it up to her. You could follow her on Twitter at Emily Chang. Okay? Emily Chang. Look at that. We completely broke Pico Cool.
She did already tweet, thanks to all of us. We rock, even though the site is down. So
I love the site. I think it's so cool. I agree with you. Good design is inspiring. It makes you want to do something. It makes you want to create. It's wonderful.
It's good. And I really think that she's kind of onto something, right? You know, she must have a lot of really cool design, artsy photo friends. I don't know. Because the stuff on Pico Cool is really like high caliber stuff. And I'm always like, wow, where did they find this? You know, I look at the internet a lot and I've never seen any of the stuff. It's always new to me. So that's always a plus.
That really is. I'm always amazed by these people. I don't know how they find this stuff.
Not either.
All right, Sarah. All right, Amber. Say hi to Connor. Give him a smooch for me. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next time.
We'll talk soon, for sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Bye. Bye.